From Directions Media, this is Directions on the News for Tuesday, May 24th, 2011. Each week this podcast looks at news and trends related to all things location. This is Adina Schutzberg, Executive Editor in Somerville, Massachusetts.
And this is Joe Francica, Editor-in-Chief in Washington, D.C.
This week we look at a few items in the news that have prompted some questions about the relationship between geospatial technology and geospatial data. Now, back in the early days of GIS, software vendors sold not only the software, but also the data. Now, it's far more common to use technology from one vendor and data from several providers. However, as mapping technology has moved to the web, and under the ownership of many large companies such as Google, Nokia, Microsoft, and Yahoo, the link between the technology and the data sets and its importance is coming back and changing. In fact, there were two different stories this week that suggest new backends and data sets may be powering Microsoft's and Yahoo's mapping products. What does that consolidation of technology and base map options mean for those companies and for others who provide data and services around them? We'll tackle those questions and more after a word from our sponsor.
This podcast is brought to you by Esri. You can now access ArcGIS on your Microsoft Windows Phone 7 device. Download the free app from the Zune Marketplace. For more information, visit esri.com/windowsphone.
So let's start out with the two news stories that sort of prompted my interest in this topic. And these both were speculative, I guess, is the best way to describe them, because we don't have exact confirmation on either of them, and one of them really has provoked some skepticism within the community. Let's start with a story from Greg Sterling, who reported news that was new to him, that Nokia's mapping technology will be powering Bing Maps. And that had been suggested when the Microsoft-Nokia relationship was defined, but exactly which aspect of Nokia's technology or data, the Navtech data, was going to be involved wasn't really made clear. But what he's suggesting is that, let me quote him, he was talking to a lunch companion who, quote, argued unequivocally that Nokia Maps would effectively replace almost everything that Microsoft had developed over the past several years in terms of the Bing Maps infrastructure. This was shocking because Microsoft had invested hundreds of millions of dollars, if not billions, in creating a viable competitor to Google Maps. Most recently, the company had been promoting its rollout of new high-resolution aerial imagery on a global basis. I said I couldn't believe Microsoft would agree to swap in Navtech for the guts of its own system. Yet my lunch guest argued that Microsoft's role would most certainly center on the Bing Maps UI. Ironically, not unlike Yahoo's relationship to Microsoft's search results, everything else would be powered by Nokia. So he was unable to get confirmation from either company of exactly what technology from Nokia would be powering what parts of Bing Maps. But it really does sort of raise this question about the relationship between the back-end technology and the data, and who provides which. Now, the other story was based on a note from analyst named Trip Chowdhury, who suggested in that note that Yahoo was looking to power its maps technology with Google Maps. And he arrived at this figure, which I found very interesting, that suggested that that replacement could reduce Yahoo's operating costs by 2 to 5% overall. Now, there are all kinds of reasons that I found this suggestion really out there, not the least of which was a number of errors that I think trace back to this original note about the nature of mapping technology and who's using what right now, but also that this analyst made the same prediction back in 2009. But again, it does sort of suggest a bit of a consolidation in the platforms that are available and that are being used by these big companies. And we can throw into the mix, I suggest, also MapQuest's new use and widespread use of OpenStreetMap as a base map. So there's sort of a lot going on in trying to figure out which backend and which maps to use in order to have an offering that's going to be the best possible one for these very large companies. And I guess the first thing I want to ask you, Joe, is what is going on with all of these stories that are suggesting, and we don't exactly know what's going to happen, what is going on?
Well, first, what an entangled web of interrelationships. The notion that either, any one of these companies would take over the other's mapping technology after all parties have invested so much, have gone down the road so far with mapping, with geospatial technology, and the development of APIs, the licensing. It's taken me certainly by surprise to even hear the suggestions, not the least of which is the fact that now we're seeing that Microsoft or that Google has a relationship with Yahoo, and Yahoo has a relationship with Microsoft for search. Wouldn't the case for Microsoft and Yahoo made better sense of having Yahoo Maps use Bing Maps? What a incredible web of confusion. What's going on? So let me get to that answer. Frankly, the geospatial infrastructure of at least commercial applications is at stake. We build so many things on all of these platforms that we had better find out what these relationships are before you go down this path, because so much is at stake with respect to people building mobile technology apps all with a location context. And it really does impact the whole infrastructure, the whole environment and ecosystem of location-based apps if we don't get this relationship right, if we don't understand what's going on with these companies. So the true backbone of geospatial technology in the commercial realm, I think, is at stake.
Right, and really a scary thought to imagine that all of a sudden the API that you've been using, or equally challenging, the data set that you've been depending on from a particular vendor all of a sudden turns into something else.
Yeah, it goes away maybe, yeah.
Right, so that's really quite a scary thing. And interestingly, in this whole set of discussions, there were two companies that didn't come up yet, but I think are actually important to throw into this mix. One is Apple, which does not yet have a mapping solution, but all signs seem to indicate that they're heading in that direction. Having acquired a couple of technologies, including PlaceBase, it sure sounds like they're building their own from scratch with some of these technologies they've acquired. And the other player, of course, that needs to fall into the mix somewhere is ESRI.
Well, and I also don't want to leave out the companies that may not be on everybody's radar screen, which are Intel and Qualcomm, both of which have had skunk works, some not so public, some really skunk works, because they are also in this business, and they provide a component of the location-based infrastructure that is kind of lurking out there. In terms of Apple, for example, they better jump into the game pretty soon, or people will begin to ignore them. And I've often thought that Apple is not necessarily a company that plays catch-up really well. But let's go back and look at things like what they do very good. They invent things. They change environments, but they don't necessarily play catch-up.
No. In fact, they tend to wait around for a couple of others to get something out there, and then they come in and redefine the category, right? They did that with the iPod. They were certainly not the first with an MP3 player. They were certainly not the first with a smartphone. They waited, and they jumped in later. There's a whole discussion this week on NPR with Malcolm Gladwell about just that. So maybe they're doing the same thing, and is it possible that they're going to redefine a category, a software category, mind you, not necessarily a hardware category, at this late a date?
I think that's the absolute expectation we would have. I think we hold Apple to very high standards. Let's face it, they didn't come out with an MP3 player. They changed the music industry.
Right, because they came out not only with that piece of hardware with its little operating system, but also iTunes and the store.
Yeah, they changed the way we bought and listened to music. What we expect from them is the next Facebook and the next Twitter. That's the kind of sea change we expect from Apple, because they've done it before. And if location is as big as we think it is, this is what we would expect. And they could. There's room for improvement.
Right. And I think what you're suggesting is that they need not depend on this handful of players that are sort of all trying to depend on each other, if you look at it that way. They're going to do their own thing.
Yeah, well, in the annals of Business 101, if you're trying to compete in an environment, you don't compete in the category that's already established. You create your own new category. And that's kind of what Apple has done in the past.
Right. Well, let's look at the situation from a slightly different perspective and think about, based on where we are today in 2011, what is the best strategy for either creating or using base maps? Do you, for example, buy the data company like Nokia did of Navtech? Do you license the data? MapQuest still licenses data in addition to its use of OpenStreetMap. Do you build your own, which is what Google is doing now, between the data sets that it's built on its own and then MapMaker and the tools to add or change? Or do you go with OpenStreetMap and go with a completely crowdsourced solution? Or do you have all of those things available? Is there a best strategy right now?
Yeah, well, I think as you're suggesting is there's different business models out there. It really all depends on what these individual companies are after, the Googles, the Microsofts. I think we know what Google's strategy is. They want to be able to search on geospatially related data and sell more advertising space. But let's be realistic here. They're making an enormous investment in all of this, and these companies are making some very expensive wagers on location-based development. So whether it's a build or buy, a couple of these companies have taken different strategies, but what I'm focused on is in the investment that they're doing. It's a huge crapshoot at this point that somebody's going to find a new industry or a new category. You know, as suggested in the past, the holy grail of location-based advertising isn't yet solved. There's pieces coming together, but we're really at a very early stage. You've got competing technologies, augmented reality being one, coming into the mix. And so we're at a point in time where you can't see down the road far enough. I guess that's the way I'll leave it.
No, and I think the other thing that might, in fact, be true, and we don't know this yet, is maybe I'm focusing on the wrong data set. Maybe that base map isn't that important, and what's really important is the POI data set.
Well, and I would suggest that you're partially right, that the base maps are a commodity these days, and whether you are looking at acquiring a specific data set, whether that's through VGI or making your own investment, that's where some of the IP is, in addition to whatever app you build. Because that's going to be the unique selling proposition that company has to offer. So we're taking a lot of these base maps for granted. We know that there is a base map there with lots of POIs. Now let's go further. What else is there out there that's going to be finger-licking good that I'm going to buy your little mobile app?
Right, that's going to distinguish it from all the others. And I think another small piece of evidence to suggest that, at least from the end user's perspective, it's not such a big deal. When Google switched over from licensing data for Google Maps to offering its own, there were some dribs and drabs of issues, and there's still a couple where cities are in the wrong place and so forth. But so I certainly did not document any specific change in behavior of the end user in terms of going to Google Maps versus going to something else when that change happened.
Right.
So that's just one data point on it. Now the other half of that question is, okay, so there's the base maps, but then there's also that back end. Yahoo went through that process of licensing a back end, and then it rolled its own. Now we have companies that are trying to help you build that back end with special kinds of tools, like Simple Geo. So again, do you build on somebody else's technology? Or do you get into a licensing deal where you're, in fact, somebody else's back end is doing the powering and you're only providing the data?
In a cloud era, you know, owning the platform or the data doesn't make a whole lot of sense. There are certainly sources out there that will allow you to build upon whatever is available. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of impetus or even a good business case for trying to build something, at least at this point in time, when there's so much out there available. So you kind of have to scratch your head if somebody's going out there and try to build something from scratch. At least that's my perspective.
Well, have we come to the place where those back ends, be they just big tile caches or something with some more tools and guts in it, like Decarta's offerings, are they a commodity now? Are they at that level where they're all about the same and it doesn't matter as much?
Well, so be a little bit clear on what you mean by the back end. Are we talking about a commoditized data set or other tools that are there for the taking?
Right now, I'm talking about peel off the data set and that underlying technology that does the rendering, analysis, and management of that data.
Or the geofencing or the geocoding or
other apps. All that stuff. Yep.
I think the answer is that it has become a bit of a commodity. There are other companies that offer that. So why go out and invest on your own? I think, again, I go back to the issue of where is your IP? If you're going to spend the time building all that stuff all over again, I think you've wasted half your investment. So I don't think there's a reason to do that anymore. Maybe you're not aware of the resources that are available, but that's good footwork to find out where these resources are.
And I guess another piece of evidence, perhaps, of that is that if none of these floats your boats that you have to license or work with, there are open source solutions out there for you too.
That's a good point.
That do the same kind of stuff. Now the only distinguisher right now that I'm seeing, and I've written a little bit about, the NoSQL databases, just because they have some very specific functionality that they offer that many of these do not, and maybe someday they will, but right now they don't. So that's one differentiator right now, and that's part of what Simple Geo and others are sort of trying to push.
But also I think it's important to note that back to the big four that you mentioned, the Microsofts and the Googles, they're going to control a lot of the gateway to apps and data, and in a sense becoming a gatekeeper. And let's also not forget the carriers, the cellular carriers, which really haven't stepped up to the plate in terms of allowing their APIs to be exposed. You know, we're relying on the cellular phone manufacturers in a lot of these instances to take advantage of whatever GPS or Wi-Fi positioning technology is there.
And the last way I want to look at this is from the sort of third-party developer standpoint. And at one time, if that was your role, you would find some technology, find the data, put them together, build the web app, build the mobile app, or what have you. And my sense is right now, unless you're doing something very specialized, you want all of that wrapped up into one nice API, and what you're going to do is look at the offerings that have those combined and pick the one that's best for you.
I think you're absolutely right. Again, there's you want that commoditized package of geo stuff, the geocoding, the geofencing.
The data tiles.
POI lookup. Yeah, exactly. You have to rest your laurels on your own ingenuity to create something that's going to sell in the market.
Right. And the worst case is that the platform that you choose has 90% of what you need, and you call out to somebody else's API to do the rest, whether that's free or for a fee. And I think that's really where the competition is right now. It's, do you build your app on Google Maps sort of solution with its back end and its data, or do you use a Microsoft pairing, or do you use an ESRI pairing, or do you use an OpenGeo pairing? Right? Everybody wants that together. We don't want to have that separated. It's too complicated.
Yeah.
Unless you're really a hardcore geospatial person with a very specific and complex sort of analysis that needs to be done, any of these can do some of this really simple stuff. And frankly, not just the simple stuff, but quite a measure of the more complicated stuff, too.
Well, and I think what you're going to see is some of this technology is exposed from various vendors. If you're a hardcore geospatial vendor like an Esri, or even an Oracle, for that matter, what is exposed to the mobile app developer will become very specialized, I think. So let's forget about the consumer apps. In the typical tourist application, let's think of some more hardcore apps in state and local government and utilities. They're going to look to the more traditional geospatial vendors than they are to the I would guess mainstream guys like Google and Microsoft.
At least right now.
Yeah, that's a good point. We never know what's over the horizon.
Because I think you're exactly correct today, but I also have to believe that all of those vendors are looking for that solution. How do I get into the enterprise with those kinds of problems too? Because there's a lot of money to be made there.
And the Enterprise is one of those areas which has probably been far too neglected.
That's all the time we have for today. Before we go, our sponsor, ESRI, would like you to know a new version of ArcGIS Explorer Online is available. This updated web-based application lets you share your map content and easily create and distribute dynamic presentations. To try ArcGIS Explorer Online for free, visit explorer.arcgis.com. If you'd like to comment on today's podcast, you can email us at editors@directionsmag.com, or you can leave a comment at Directions Magazine, where this podcast is hosted.
And just a reminder about some upcoming webinars. We've got this week, May 26th, Going the Distance, Pursuing a Graduate Degree Online, sponsored by Penn State. And the following week, June 2nd, Location Standards, How Do They Help Government, sponsored by the Open Geospatial Consortium. Both of those you can sign up and register at directionsmag.com/webinars.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tell a friend.